This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. Showdown at the Strand by P.S. Nolf. Ravens, stark as death, soared in the sky. The rancher, his sworn men, the former fighter, and the man of law rode south. Strung out behind, the mounted ranch hands led strings of pack horses. As the sun rose, their shadows stretched westward across the plain. To the northeast, smoke curled from the sleeping volcano. The riders splashed through the creeks, milky with runoff from the glaciers. They pushed the horses hard over bogs and through rocky terrain.
"I have a thirst for ale," thought Gunnar, the half-Dane, astride his yellow dun stallion.
He had won Bitir, named for his fierce bite, in a gambling game. Gunnar was guesting at the homestead of Thorgils Maxson, a distant but wealthy relative in Iceland. The half-Dane's tales of fighting in the Varangian Guard for the Byzantium Emperor kept his drinking horn full and his welcome fresh. The summer season in Iceland had been short. Crops, including barley, had failed. Gunnar rode with Thorgils to help gain a great prize, knowing his generous kinsmen would award him shares. Without the treasure, they might be eating their horses this winter, despite what the Christian priests forbade. The group rode up a hillock to look over the strand. The ebb and flow of the waves had delivered the treasure to the beach, theirs for the taking, if they were powerful enough.
"What do you reckon?"
Their leader, Thorgils, stood up in his stirrups to get a better look. Sverrir Kugson, the Sauterman who often advocated legal matters for Thorgils, viewed the head, fins, and throat of the huge creature.
"It looks like a raidur to me. At least 80 fot. The fisherman who found it didn't tell us a fishtail about its size," said Thorgils. "It's a bonanza of a whale."
The band rode down the bank onto the strand. Thorgils regularly patrolled the shore looking for stranded whales. His men were familiar with the routine. Some worked to secure the prize against incoming tides. Others gathered up the horses to lead them to water and grass. Gunnar's hammer-headed stallion managed to bite a chunk from a gelding. Bitir had earned a pile of silver for his master at the local horse fights. Their leaders walked toward the whale for a closer look.
"Who owns shares in this whale according to the Gragas laws?" Thorgils asked of Sverrir. "The creature's definitely on no man's land," observed Sverrir. "Let's see if it has a harpoon with the declared owner's mark. You risk a charge of lesser outlawry if you ignore such a claim."
Thorgils and Sverrir began to walk around the great beast, checking for a marked spear. Their talk about whale salvage rights continued as they drifted out of earshot.
"These Icelanders and their laws for this and that," thought Gunnar.
A man could drink a large horn of ale before a Southerman finished reciting those parts of the laws concerning the ownership of stranded whales. With no king or enforcers of the law in Iceland, men often had to fight for their rights.
"This whale is on common driftlands. More scavengers are sure to come sniffing," said Thorgils upon his return. "Start cutting."
The ranch hands had stacked the old axes, knives, polearms, and cleavers near the whale. With bare feet, they selected their cutting tools. The named weapons, those with reputations, had remained at the homestead as too valuable to dull. Gunnar had left behind his fine, riveted mail shirt and waist-high battle axe named Hel. The wise words of Odin cautioned,
"Never walk away from home ahead of your axe and sword. You can't feel a battle in your bones or foresee a fight."
He hoped Odin was wrong this once.
"I'll make the first cut," said Adi, Thorgil's 16-year-old foster son.
With a long polearm, Adi approached the whale to determine the best place for a fresh cut. The men backed away. If enough putrefaction had occurred, the released gas could explode, tossing blubber, entrails, and long-dead fish for 100 paces.
Men had died in such circumstances. The lad chose a spot near the abdomen to start hacking through the blubber. The sixth blow punctured the stomach. With a massive noise like a fart of a burial mound troll, the reeking gas spewed out of the stomach cavity.
"It's enough to put a man off his ale for a week," thought Gunnar.
Thorgils grabbed his axe.
"I'm going to hack through the skull to get to the oil. With a whale this size, I should get enough to light up my longhouse through the winter."
He approached the head of the whale to cut steps into the side so he could scramble to the top. His men cut whale steaks, ripping sinew and bone. Some flensed long strips of fat from the sides of the whale. The rolled-up pieces were tied to the pack horses. Persuading the horses to carry the bloody packets was a dance with the devil. When all 30 pack horses were loaded up, mounted ranch hands led them back to the homestead.
"There's a ship approaching!" shouted Adi, pointing with his bloody poleaxe.
Thorgils shook his head.
"The fisherman sold his news to any willing ear."
A small, wide-bodied tradingnar approached. It flew a worn wool sail. Some overlapping planks in its lapstracked hull were warped. 10 men rowed, while 2 armed men looked out over the prow.
"It's the brothers Gaisli Ponch and Ogmund the Evil," said Svarir. "They're berserkers when fighting. The two have been outlawed throughout Norway for murder and theft. They shelter with their Holagand kin."
"Best it is for man's words to seek peace when it is possible," quoted Thorgils from the Skaldic poems. "There's plenty of whale to go around. Besides, many breakers of battle axes are more brag than brains. But bring some weapons anyway."
He scrambled down from the head of the whale to walk towards the vessel being pulled on shore. Gunnar followed Thorgils, Sverrir, and Adi. Old wise sayings weren't always wise, just old. The brothers' ship may not have been well maintained, but their weapons shone in the sunlight. He wished to hell he had his good mail shirt and fighting axe. Gaisli and Ogmund left their comrades at the water's edge to walk toward the whale. The two groups met halfway.
"Hail, Gaisli and Ogmund, sons of Skapi, son of Bjarni. I, Higt Sverrir Kugson, advocate for Thorgils Maxen, owner of the homestead Brookmeat."
"We came for the whale."
Gaisli Ponch's identity was obvious due to his rotundness.
"There's plenty for all."
Thorgils pointed at the huge beast.
"We can share the uncut carcass."
"No, we won't. The whole whale."
"All the cut pieces, too."
His brother Ogmund touched the hilt of his sword.
"We'll duel you for it." "The Hormganga is banned in Iceland," Sverrir said. "By law, you can no longer claim land or women by fighting. Perhaps Gunnar Thorversen, recently of the Varangian Guard, will discuss the matter with you."
Gaisli and Ogmund glanced nervously at each other at the mention of the Varangian Guard.
"The gun's too small to take the whole whale," Gaisli said. "We'll cut our own meat to make sure it fits into our ship."
"The Ponch and his brothers would neigh if their balls weren't cut off," muttered Adi.
Gunnar touched his Mjolnir amulet. He prayed to Odin, Thor, and the Jesus that the brothers had not heard the insult. The rancher and his men returned to the carcass. Thorgils climbed back on the head to smash at the skull. Gunnar went back to his place at mid-spine. High ground was easier to defend. Gaisli and Ogmund returned to their ship to speak with their men. The brothers discarded their cloaks, but kept their swords. They returned to the Redir in a spread-out group. Hiding an axe by his side, Ogmund walked to the whale's head. He suddenly ran up the steps cut by Thorgils.
"I gift you a sharp sword,"
screamed Ogmund at Thorgil's back. With one great swing, he cut off Thorgil's head, which rolled down the side of the whale and bounced down the strand. The body remained standing for a heartbeat before it followed. So the melee began. Whale ribs parried sword and axe strokes.
Stakes and piles of stinking guts became missiles. Those wearing shoes were more likely to fall in bloody, awful, covered sand. Inexperienced but wild with youthful enthusiasm, Audie bashed about his rusty poleaxe. Gunnar's chance to overview the action was short. Ogman charged, slipping and sliding down the backbone of the whale. Gunnar noticed he sported leg wrappings. Bound carelessly, one fastener had come undone.
"Your left leg wrapping is untied."
Even a dim-witted troll deserves a warning if he sits naked by a fire. As the man looked down, Gunnar grabbed the right wrapping. He yanked hard, pulling his foe off his feet. Osman spun down to the ground, landing with a crunch of a broken leg. Gunnar was trying to avoid killing blows, since his purse would not extend to paying large amounts of weregild. Gunnar noticed Bitter had broken loose. Upset by the commotion, he was running up and down the strand, kicking and biting. The stallion took chunks of flesh out of whatever parts, human or horse, he could reach. Butts were his favorite target. Gaisley turned berserker. He tried to climb the whale to get to Gunnar, but kept sliding down in his leather boots. Gaisley managed to scramble up high enough to anchor his sword in the whale muscle. Gunnar was armed with only the knife he had been using to cut blubber strips. As an offensive weapon, it was sore lacking, but he, with a short knife, must try again. Gunnar rammed his knife tightly between two touching spinal discs. He jumped off the whale and kicked the nose on Gaisley's upturned face. Another satisfying crunch. Gaisley's weight dragged his sword downward, cutting through hide and muscle. Nobody had noticed the rising tide was carrying Thorgil's head out to sea. Sverrir shouted,
"For the sweet love of Jesus, somebody grab that head!"
His voice shattered the bloodlust. Dazed, bruised, and bloody, the men came back to their senses. A ranch hand retrieved the head for Sverrir.
"Gather your weapons. Tie Thorgil's body to his horse. We're riding for home."
Gaisley and Ogmund were rolling in pain at the belly line of the carcass. Cradling his nose, Gaisley snuffled,
"What about the whale?"
"It's yours, but as Sautamin, let me tell you the law. You stand at the Althing to take responsibility for your killing and pay the weregild, or you will be declared greater outlaws, whom no man can feed or shelter. That's a cruel death in these long Icelandic winters."
Bloody and stinking, Thorgil's men mounted up to begin the long ride to escort his corpse to his family. Gunnar rode up to Sverrir's horse.
"I'm riding west. Widow Solvig Hakonardottir asked me to be overseer of her homestead."
Gunnar remembered the smile in Solvig's eyes that seemed to promise more than a job.
"I'll be back to testify in Thorgil's blood suit."
Sverrir nodded his agreement. Adi saluted him with his poleaxe. Gunnar and Bitir rode north. They made their own path across bogs, over grassland, and through birch forests. Iceland was an island without roads or towns. Gunnar guested at isolated homesteads. Everywhere he went, he heard the verse some wit had written about the fight. Hard were the blows which were dealt at the strand. No weapons they had but stakes of the whale. They belabored each other with rotten blubber. Unseemly, methinks, is such warfare for men. He wondered if he still had time to join Freydis, daughter of Leif Erikson, in her expedition to Vinland. Perhaps it was distant enough to outrun the scurrilous words. Surely a country with Vin in its name had alcohol for a thirsty man. P.S. Nolf has a passion for writing about history, horses, and humor. Her fiction and nonfiction have been published in multiple magazines in several countries. She is currently working on a narrative nonfiction book, Raising Rough Riders in the White House. Theodore Roosevelt, his youngest son Quentin and Archie, and their pony Algonquin. You can read more about her publications at Writing to Amuse at PamelaNolfWriting.blogspot.com. Hey guys, Wow, I have never attempted a story with quite so many foreign pronunciations before. And my deepest apologies to anyone in Iceland for butchering your language. But I have to admit, the challenge was a lot of fun. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe because I post new episodes every Monday and Friday. I'm Chris Herron, and that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.